Today, I want to continue our contemplation of the quality of a quality of safety that we can cultivate inward that's useful. So this is related for those of you who haven't been here over the last several weeks, to the somatics concept of safety, connection, and respect as fundamental nutrients for well-being of our nervous systems, of our bodies. Beautiful concept. And when we looked at the three of them, the first go round, what came up again and again was this idea of, so what does safety mean in light of impermanence, in light of non-perfect conditions where we can never guarantee, quote unquote, safety? So, how do we understand this concept of safety as a fundamental nutrient when we can't guarantee safety? The paradox. And while we always want to acknowledge whatever we can do that is just in alignment with wisdom to keep ourselves safe. We do that. That's mindfulness. But that's not actually the kind of safety that we're looking at with this. We're looking at how do we cultivate an inner sense of safety that transcends conditions, that is not dependent upon things going a certain way or being a certain way, form, or the political party that we want getting elected, or whatever variation, or our bodies not having the problems that they do, whatever variation of life we're working with. What's it like to have an inner knowing, reliable, trustworthy sense of safety that sees us through this? So, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this from what I consider a sort of spiritual perspective. And the image that comes up for me as a profound model is Nelson Mandela. Who lived a life in tremendous non-safety, including 27 years in dangerous, ferociously dangerous conditions of imprisonment, and had an inner sense of strength, which allowed him a sense of safety to navigate the like truly treacherous waters that he did and come out of it at a place that he had available a path of healing for a nation. I mean, that's a profound sense of a possible safety. And that is something that we can cultivate for ourselves with our practice. Last week, we looked at it more from the perspective of psychology, neuroscience, and even Buddhist psychology. I never, once I heard this, I've never forgotten because it just hit me so deeply. The original teaching on loving kindness in the tradition of Buddhist psychology was given by the Buddha as an antidote to fear. I mean, isn't that interesting? You can find strains of that, the two religions I know, or paths, spiritual paths I know the best are Christianity and Buddhism. And I have no doubt that that similar connection of it is the courage of our hearts, the compassion of our hearts, that allow us to face what's really hard in our lives. So what I want to do today is bring that to an inquiry practice for us to work with. You know, not so much what have others said about it, but what do we know about it? And then to do this, I decided to use exercise that we do in the mindfulness-based stress reduction class. So some of you might even remember this. We do it in week 7 on communications. And it is about understanding what are the qualities of awareness that we can bring forward when we are in communication with someone else that make a difference. And what are the qualities that we can bring forward that separate us? What are those that connect us? What are those that separate us? And look at these same qualities in communication, this time through the lens of communication with our own selves. You know, how are we in relationship with ourselves? Consider a situation where you had some challenging thing happen and you were like that hot, messy ball of tension out of that challenging thing that happened. And you see a friend and they're available. And they look at you and they say, oh, what happened? And they actually really want to know. And so you sit and you talk and you share with each other. And at the end of the conversation, you feel better. Like something that was like a tight mess has gone and releases. What qualities of awareness is the friend having? What qualities of awareness are there in that conversation that you feel like you were listened to in a way that something releases? What's present? Compassion. What else? Care. Curiosity, trust. Isn't that an interesting one? I can see trust coming up in several ways. When you say trust, what comes up for you? Non-judging. And what was the other thing you said?
Presence.
Yeah. Vulnerability. And so as soon as I hear vulnerability in the context of trust, I can trust. I can allow my vulnerability to show, and it's safe for it to show there. Oh, a perspective. Kind of that larger view. We just did the meditation of like opening to the large expanse. There's the metaphor. I think this metaphor originally comes from the Buddha as well. I'm not sure. You put salt in a cup, a spoonful of salt in a cup of water. The cup of water is going to be salty. You put the spoonful of salt in a bowl of water, it's going to be less. You put it in a tub of water, less. You put it in a lake of water, you're not going to notice. So some sort of broadening of perspective takes us out of that tunnel vision. There's so many ways, like all of these words, there's so many ways to come at them. Yeah, what else? Full attention. They're present. They're there. Not distracted. With you. Yeah. The term that sometimes comes up when I do this in class is this lovely phrase of feeling heard. So anything else? This is a good list. Yeah. It is trust. Yeah, in both from the listener. We could open this word. We could just spend the whole rest of today opening up that word. And that's a huge helpful piece of it. And it comes back to the vulnerability. I can be vulnerable because someone's not going to see me as broken. They can trust my hurt without seeing me as flawed. Okay, so this is a good list. We could go on and on, but this is a really good start. So take for a moment, imagine yourself in that conversation. You have this difficulty, and you're sitting with someone, and they are, like, you can even like close your eyes and feel this. You're in this tight ball, you're reactive and hot mess, and somebody's with you. And you can feel their trust for you. You can feel their compassion. And that they're really patient with you being exactly where you are without any judgment. There's a safety for your vulnerability here. And something about all of that just opens up perspective. That's larger and wiser and more grounded. And you feel connected and you feel heard. So, what happens in your body when you are met with these qualities? Yeah, an opening and a softness, a grounding. Relief, relaxation. You can like physically feel that being met with it. And I'm going to come back to that word again and again because it is a deep trust. That being met with this kind of trust allows something to release. And would the word safety be present? This is what allows safety in that relationship. Does that make sense? So we know this in the context of relating to others. What's so hard for us to get is what about relating to ourselves in this way? That allows us to be safe within our own self, in relationship with ourself, to trust ourself, to non-judge, to have compassion, care, curiosity, to know that there is a broader perspective of connection that offers relief. This is mindfulness. Mindfulness, is not, okay, I can sit in a circle and I can turn the thoughts off and, oh, what's wrong with me today because my mind's so messy. I probably shouldn't come next week because I know blah, blah, like that. And we think we just need to get the straitjacket on and get ourselves together and being mindful. But when you're met that way by a friend, it doesn't feel good. It's not safe. Yet we meet ourselves that way over and over and what's it really like to see these as the kinds of qualities that allow us to cultivate a safe home, a safe harbor, a safe haven within our own being that is independent of conditions? So, you probably knew this was coming, or maybe not. We come to the other side. Same scenario. You have that thing happen. You're the tight ball of hot mess. You see a friend. They say, "What's up?" And you try to share. And oh, at the end of the conversation, all you can think is, "Why in the world did I open my mouth?" What's going on that side? What are the qualities on that side? Judgment. Advice. Oh, what you should do is, oh, it's just ruthless. When we are being given advice, or when we are giving advice, remember we do both of these, we participate on both sides. What's the basic message of the advice giver to the advicee? What's the basic message that has something to do with this? Yeah, I don't trust you. Yeah, you need me to fix. And I often will hear people say, well, what about when they ask for advice? Or the only time it's okay to give advice is if they ask. Oh, yeah, you know, like be even, like super careful with that one too. I had a friend years ago when my 27-year-old, I know which house we were in so I can date it, was about two. She would call me up and she would say, Lindsay, I need couch time tonight. I just need your advice. And the first time she called me, I thought, oh, okay. Like I've got to like get myself together to be able to think about how to give wise advice. So I put my daughter to bed and my friend came over. We sat on the couch and she spilled out this whole thing and she said, what should I do? And I thought, okay, now here's my, what I got to come up with something. And before I could even get something out, she's already gone on somewhere else. She didn't want my advice. I mean, I figured that out pretty darn quick. What she needed was a place to figure out her own advice, to get back in touch with her own wisdom. And me telling her what to do would never get her back in touch with her own wisdom. So that's a really helpful one. We think we're helping. What are we really trying to do when we're giving advice? We're trying to take control, which sounds judgmental. Like if you take that down a notch, what would it another way of looking at that? I'm trying to get rid of my own discomfort. I want to take control because I'm not comfortable with this situation. I don't like it either. And so I'm going to fix it for you so I don't have to feel my discomfort. Yeah. Okay. So more on the side. Inattentiveness. Can I put distraction or distracted? So ever have this conversation happen more often now? Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's awful. I'm really, oh gosh, look at this. You know? Like this thing we're holding in our hands is such a bear to our connection with each other. And how often is there some way that our attention's just elsewhere? Sometimes our attention's elsewhere because we don't have the bandwidth at that moment. And there's no problem with that. With mindfulness, we can name it. Oh, I hear you. This is really big. And I have to say, at the moment, I have X, Y, and Z. So can I call you in a couple of days and let's get together? And I really want to hear. It's okay to be distracted. There's no problem with that. It's, am I aware of it? And am I, because of my distraction, I'm not present. What else? Oh, yes. Dismissive. Oh, why do you feel that way? It wasn't that bad. What's wrong? Yeah, don't you get, like, they were fine. Yeah, this is a big one. And this is one we could put over on this other side too, validation. It's not validation, like, say I really, what I'm all in a mess about is I messed up on something, validation. It's not validating that, oh yeah, I should have really done that bad behavior, of course. It's validation of the emotions. And dismissive is I'm dismissive of what you're feeling. So others on here, this side. And what's going on when we're apathetic? What's happening in my, if I'm apathetic, what do we know is happening in my nervous system at that moment? It's protecting. It's overloaded. It's like shielding and buffering the world out because I cannot stand to hear one more thing. Can't do it. Yeah. More on here. Conflicted. So tell a little bit about that. And I can't be present enough with my conflicting of being present that I'm caught in confliction instead of being able to say I can't be here or actually being able to be there. Yeah, so the opposite of conflicted over here would be grounded. Clear. Yeah, and it doesn't have to have an answer. This another one that often comes up here is not knowing. Like it's okay not to know what needs to happen here. If I'm not okay with not knowing, I can end up in a lot of conflicted states because I need to know. Yeah. Because I can't fix it, I'm uncomfortable with this situation, and I have a thousand ways to try to check out of this situation. That's beautifully said. Yeah. So I'm noticing time. I'm going to add two more up here, and then I want us to consider this for a minute. One is our hist these are related, our histories. All the time, which each and every one of us, we have different histories, different experiences. We have different genders, we have different economic backgrounds, we have different races, we have different gender identities, you know, like all of this stuff means that our experiences are all unique and fundamentally different from each other. If I'm in a situation where somebody is telling me something that I can tell it really was upsetting for them, and me in my experience, I can't get it. What I know is that my history hasn't allowed me an experience that lets me get this. I remember a long time ago, a therapist, one of my kids was really struggling with something, and we were working with someone, and suddenly I got what I hadn't gotten about the situation. And oh my gosh, it just like hit me like a tsunami of what I didn't understand was happening for her. And I just so appreciate what that therapist he said. He said, "Lindsay, what in your experience would have ever allowed you to understand that this isn't just like messy behavior? This is survival protection mode. What in your experience would have given you the room to get that?" I didn't have it. So, and related to history, sometimes we can see it as our history, but then there's the whole other layer of unconscious biases that we don't even know we are carrying cultural, enculturated messages that mean we don't get it. You're with that friend, you have this thing happening, you're trying to share it, and they are clearly judging you for it. They're clearly trying to fix you about it. They're giving a lot of advice while they're also on their cell phone, dismissing you. And clearly apathetic. I mean, like, can you feel this? We go on down the line. What happens in your body when you are being met in this way? What does that feel like? Shut down. Yeah. Tight. Yeah. So feel that for a minute. Where's the concept of safety? Is it there? Non-safe. This isn't safe. So now, again, think for a moment. How often are you bringing these qualities to yourself? How often are you the conflicted mess and you just think, what is my problem? Why can I not get over this? What's wrong with me? Unconscious bias of me against me. Dismissive. Oh, just shove it off. Get over it. Move on. Just this is what we do. And then think about in your meditation practice. You sit down and you have one of those days where the mind just won't shut up about that worry storm that you think is a nothing. What do you say to yourself in meditation practice when you quote unquote should be practicing, but instead you're just running that same old story again? I see you and I care. Yeah. That's love. Yeah. So I kind of had hoped we could do more work with this, and maybe we will do this next week. But I'm noticing time, so I'm going to have us pause instead of stop. Pause right here for a moment. Take a moment to notice whatever's coming up in your own body, mind, and heart right now. What's it like to have compassion for you being you in this moment? Some trust in your basic goodness. Some trust in your perfect flawedness as a human. That mistakes are natural, will happen, are a part of life, and you can still trust you to learn and grow. Some curiosity of what's here in this moment without judgment. Some validation that, oh, of course it's like this right now. Of course it is. Messy, imperfect, just as it is, and fine. Doesn't need to be anything else in this moment, because this moment, opening to it, is how I grow. And you allow your own self to feel heard by you. Can you allow a safety inside? A place where whatever's here can be met. And safety. Whatever is here. May we all know a safety that transcends conditions and allows healing within in a way that allows us to bring healing without into the world. Bring healing out into the world. May our own healing be of deep service to all beings everywhere. May all beings know this safety that heals and connects and naturally grows respect for ourselves, for each other, for everything everywhere. Thank you. Lovely being with you all today.